Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Cameron Stutters. I'm the associate pastor here at MCA Church, and it's just good to be with you this morning as we gather in Jesus' name for a fresh encounter of our Lord. Well, prior to my role pastoring here at the church 4 years ago, I worked as a project manager in the insurance and construction restoration industry. And my job as project manager was to do marketing, to gain more business. My job as project manager was to estimate, do the quotes for the jobs, and then run the job sites. And as a Christ follower in the business world, there were times when my faith as a Christ follower came under pressure. And I remember one specific scenario where I was gaining business from a client and starting to get more jobs from them, and they had asked me to produce a quote, and I was keen to help. I was keen to help them out and do what they needed to do to get their job done so that we could build a relationship and I could get more work. But what happened at one point was it was suggested that if I could just make the paperwork look a certain way, it would be really helpful for them. And if I could make the paperwork look a certain way, come in at a certain job dollar value, it would make it really good for them. And so I said, yeah, sure, okay, I'm keen to do this. I want to keep on your side. But as I went through my day, my conscience started to catch up with my day, right? And I began to feel that weight, right? I began to feel that pressure that comes down on us when we know that we are not acting according to what God's will and God's way is. And so I went through my day, and I just felt this pressure. And then I slept on it and said, well, maybe it'll go away tomorrow. And then the pressure was back. And I felt like God was telling me, I need to just phone this guy and say, I'm sorry, I can't produce this quote. But, you know, if I ever get business again, I'm not sure. But I just can't do this. And I had to just walk what God was telling me to do. Well, we all face times when our faith comes under pressure as Christ followers, don't we? We all face pressure. And the disciples in the church of Smyrna, this is the second church letter in the book of Revelations, they were facing considerable amounts of pressure. So if you have a Bible, let's turn to Revelations chapter 2. You can use the Pew Bible in front of you. Turn to page 862. We're going to dig into Revelations chapter 2 to the church in Smyrna this morning. Revelations chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Well, let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that no matter what happens in life, that you are seated on your throne, Jesus, that you have overcome the evil one, that you have overcome sin and sickness, and Jesus, that you are building and bringing your kingdom. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Jesus, we pray as we turn to this text which spoke to your first century church, would you give us insight and understanding into this, Jesus? Would you help us to apply these verses to our life today so that we can swim upstream as disciples of Jesus without fear, but with full confidence and full faith, Jesus? So Spirit, speak through me and apply your truth this morning. Amen. Well, we are in the book of Revelation, as you guys know, and really some big themes that have come out so far is that John is exiled and he's on the island of Patmos, and he gets a fresh vision of Jesus, right? The resurrected Jesus appears to him as Lord and glorified, and also the big idea for Revelation so far is that Revelation is really about the unveiling, right? It's the unveiling. Things are not as they seem, and Jesus is unveiling to this first century believer what is really going on behind the curtain. It's not necessarily a book about scary end time predictions, but it's pulling back the curtain so that Jesus can give us words of encouragement to strengthen and build our faith. Well, today we're going to dive into the city of Smyrna and the church of Smyrna. But first, it's important to know that Smyrna was a large city. It was about 200,000 people. So Kelowna and all the area is about 200,000 people. And so it's a big city. These are urban disciples. The other thing we need to know about Smyrna, it was a beautiful city. It was a port city. Think like Vancouver on the port, a beautiful city. And the thing with Smyrna is that they liked to be first. They had kind of this ethos that just said first. They were the first to build a temple to the goddess of Rome. They were the first temple for emperor worship. They liked to be first. It was also a city that was resurrected. They thought they were the resurrected ones. 400 years earlier, the city of Smyrna was destroyed by war, and then 100 years after that, it was rebuilt as a model city. It had a famous stadium, it had libraries, it had universities, it had a large public theater that could seat 200,000 people. It was a model city, and get this, it also had a roadway called the Street of Gold. I would just love to chip off a little bit of that roadway, right, and put it in my pocket. The city had a large battlement and acropolis atop of the city, and it was considered the crown of Smyrna. So what is Jesus saying to these disciples today? What is Jesus saying to these first century Christ followers that were under persecution? Verse 8, let's look at verse 8. It says, "To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again." Right off the top, we get a big elbow jab to the city of Smyrna. Smyrna thinks they are the first. Smyrna thinks they are the resurrected one. But the living Jesus says, no, I am the first and the last. I am the one who died and rose again. Moving on from there, Jesus starts to say, I know your afflictions and your poverty. I know. Jesus, the all-knowing one, stands in the middle of what is going on and says, I know what is happening. This is good news, isn't it? That Jesus is not just standing in the middle of the church, but Jesus has experienced all the things that we experience as Christ followers. Good news for Smyrna, good news for the church of Kelowna today. Jesus says, I know the afflictions that you are going through. Some of your translations might say tribulations or suffering. But the big idea is this word called thlipsis. I know the thlipsis that you are going through. This is a really funny Greek word. I had fun all week saying this word, so I'm going to make you guys say it. So 1, 2, 3, we're going to say this word, all right? 1, 2, 3, thlipsis. Good, good job, guys. I want you to remember this word today. It's a technical word that means the pressure when the kingdom of God comes. It's the pressure that I was experiencing living out my life as a Christ follower in the business world. It's the pressure when kingdom values clash, when the kingdom of darkness clashes with the kingdom of light. The result is pressure, pressure. In the first century, when the readers heard this word, what they would think of is they would think of a large boulder being rolled on top of someone. Crushing pressure. Ouch. The first century readers would have identified. They would have thought, oh, Jesus knows the crushing pressure that we're going through. We are the persecuted church. We see persecution from Rome. We see persecution from the Jews. The Christ followers were under pressure. Well, I wonder today, MCA Church, how about you? In your life, in your journey, are you in a season of intense pressure that feels crushing? You know, as Christ followers, in each stage of life, we are going to feel pressure. And so, teens, youth, if you are here today You are going to feel pressure as you try and live out your Christ life in your school, in your high school. You're going to feel pressure to conform to values that are not from God. Young adults and college students, you're going to feel pressure as you're going through university. You're going to feel pressure from different ideologies that are not from God. You're going to feel the pressure. Working professionals, right? As you do your job, you have a different value system than the value system of your boss, unless they are Christ's followers too. There will be times that you are under pressure. Parents, as you parent your kids, as I parent my kids, I find pressure from the world to parent according to the world, to involve my kid in 500 activities so that they can be a superstar in music, dance, and hockey and everything, right? We feel pressure as Christ followers as we live out our life in Christ. The pressure comes as God's kingdom, God's way, God's goodwill comes to bear upon our life. And you know, these first century disciples, after Jesus says, I know what you're going through, they probably were thinking, much like we would want to think today, is like, oh good, Jesus knows the pressure that we are going through, and Jesus is going to take off that pressure, because we don't like pressure, right? If we're really honest, we do not like pressure. But Jesus says something different. What does Jesus say? Let's look at verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whew. Heavy verses. What Jesus is basically saying, my paraphrase this morning is, I know your pressure. Do not be afraid. You will suffer. Be faithful. I know your pressure. Do not be afraid. You will suffer. Be faithful. That's my paraphrase. In other words, disciples of MCA Church, disciples of Smyrna, what Jesus needs to tell us is that sometimes it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Sometimes it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. As Christ followers today, I wonder, in our journey with Christ, if perhaps we should maybe start with some of this before people commit to a life in Christ. Do we know what we're signing up for? Do we count the cost? Do we realize that it entails picking up our cross and following Jesus? And so Jesus says to this church, and Jesus says to us today, is that I want you to keep going. I want you to keep going into the kingdom pressure. Remember how Revelation started with the Apostle John saying in chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering, companion in the thlipsis and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. You see, Jesus brings his kingdom. Jesus brings the will and the good reign of God to bear upon the earth. And in the middle of that is Jesus. And in the middle of that is pressure against the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus invites us right into that middle, right into where he is to be his church, to be the kingdom of God. But the result, the byproduct as kingdoms clash, is pressure. But Jesus invites us into the middle because that's where he is, and that's where we need to be. Well, as we think about the kingdom of God coming to bear and God's good reign happening and God's love and mercy and justice coming to bear upon the earth, and as we think about that pressure that we sometimes feel in our own hearts as God's way needs to be done in and through us, I think our response, we tend to fall into one of two things when that happens, and this is personal experience too. We tend to fall into fear or faith. We tend to fall into fear or faith. And so in our culture today, we see that we are living in very changing times. We are living in very different times when the values of human sexuality are very, very different from what a Christ follower would say. We see very liberal values. In our own hearts, as God brings his kingdom into our heart and we are confronted about our values, about money or pride or things like that, we see how God will lead us and we will either tend towards fear or faith. Fear or faith. Church, this morning, Jesus wants you to have faith. Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid. Here's a few of my favorite verses on faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about things that we do not see. Romans 10, 17, another favorite on faith. Here's my paraphrase of this verse. Faith comes from hearing Jesus. Faith comes from listening to Jesus. That's my personal paraphrase of Romans 10, 17. So remember, Revelation is the unveiling, right? It's the pulling back of the curtain. It's kind of like that show, How It's Made, right? You know, when we watch the show How It's Made, it details, like you see like this intricate watch or something, and then they do this show and show you how it's made, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, it's not so amazing now, right? Like, once you see how it's made, Jesus is unveiling and showing us that things are not as they seem, and this builds our faith. And so I want to build your faith this morning. So the church in Smyrna, what they needed to see was that evil forces were at play. Evil forces were at play, visible and invisible forces. First, we see in verse 9, Jesus says, I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. The first unveiling is that the Christians were poor. They were ostracized. They were under pressure from Rome. Jesus is unveiling and saying, yes, materially you are poor, but spiritually you are rich. You are rich because of what you have in Christ Jesus. The other unveiling is that there is a population of Jews that are putting pressure on the Christ followers. And so Jesus uses some politically incorrect words here and says that theirs is a synagogue of Satan. And so this is intense. This is really intense. So let's just take a time out here and just park on that this for a little bit here. I want to say a few things, especially in light of the Pittsburgh shooting that we saw 2 weeks ago. Remember that Jesus is a Jew, right? Jesus is the fulfillment of the Jewish hope. The Apostle John, who writes this book, he is a Jew. This is not anti-Semitic statements. What happened in Pittsburgh was motivated by hate. That is not God's kingdom. That is the kingdom of darkness influencing and leading people to commit acts of violence. Jesus is the Lord of love and peace, not the Lord of violence. That's the father of lies. And so what this would have said to the first century Christians who were being persecuted was that there is an evil force at play influencing the powers that be. In the first century, the Jews, they had exemption. They did not have to do emperor worship. But the Christ followers, because they were living the Jesus way, they were threatening the Jewish right and exemption not to do emperor worship. And so they were persecuting the Christ followers. You know, as we think about this, and as we think about, you know, even the evil one influencing different forces in culture and politics, we need to say that the real target here, especially in the scripture, is Jesus. Jesus is bringing his goodwill. Jesus is bringing his kingdom. And the evil one does not like that. But we know from Matthew 16 that Jesus says he will build his church, right? And the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus' church. And we know from the end of Revelation that Jesus overcomes, the Lamb overcomes the dragon. So as we kind of move along in this passage today, we kind of have to ask a question like, how does this encourage us, right? Like, you're probably sitting there and thinking, where is Pastor Cameron going today? How does this speak to me where I'm at? How did this speak to the first century Christians in Smyrna? How does this give us faith to persevere in the pressure? Well, first thing I'd like to say is that Jesus prepares his church to persevere. Jesus does not want his church to be afraid. in our changing culture, in the character of Christ as it forms in you, Jesus does not want you to live in fear. Jesus does not want you to be afraid. You know, it's interesting. In the church in Smyrna, they had really done nothing wrong. They were living out the Jesus-shaped life. They were living in good community and growing and faithful Christ followers. And so Jesus is not correcting them. Jesus is encouraging these disciples. Jesus tells his church, and he tells us today, do not be afraid. Be faithful. Be faithful. So let me just share a few things with you that will help us not be afraid in our changing times, not be afraid as God's kingdom moves and God challenges us to step out of the boat or to step into something that may be difficult where we feel the pressure. Jesus invites us to follow him into the pressure. So four T words to help us today. The first T word is target. Target. The target of the evil one is Jesus and his bride. The pressure comes as we grow closer to Jesus. Expect it. Expect it. It is a good thing. It is not a bad thing. Don't panic because Jesus has overcome the evil one. Jesus has overcome sin and sickness and the kingdom of darkness. And so the kingdom is here because Jesus died on the cross and brought it, but the kingdom is not yet, and it will fully happen at the second coming. You see, the course of a Christian disciple is to swim upstream. The course of the Christian disciple is to swim upstream. You know, we have an amazing salmon run that happens almost every year in the Okanagan. And I'm just reminded that the fish that are alive, the salmon that are alive, they're working their way upstream. But the fish that are dead are floating comfortably, passively down the stream. Jesus invites us into this as he brings his kingdom to bear upon the world. Jesus is the target. We can expect that. Second word that we get that's helpful to us today is that Jesus talks about a test. He says, you will be persecuted for 10 days, verse 10. And when Jesus uses the word test, he means it's meant to prove or improve our faith. It's meant to prove or improve our faith. I'm reminded of Proverbs 17, verse 3. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. You know, one of my favorite sayings that I've learned over the years is that if you squeeze a lime, you get lime juice. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If you squeeze a Christian, do you get Jesus? Do you get Jesus? Jesus is saying that the occasional pressure for his church is good. It is good for us. It refines us. You see, pressure makes us rely on Jesus, doesn't it? Doesn't it, church? You know, in my personal life, in my pastoral role here, not so much from my work, but just life in general, my wife and I have been in a tremendous season of pressure, just a tremendous season of pressure as we live out the Jesus way. We've just had pressure from sickness and illnesses or different struggles that our kids have faced or that we've faced in life, different challenges come our way, and it's been just a tremendous season of pressure, and it just literally feels like this boulder is rolling on top of us, just squishing us into human pancakes. But you know, when I reflected this week and was thinking about this a little bit and thinking about the pressure as God's kingdom rolls out, you know, church, I don't think I would take away that pressure that my wife and I have gone through and our family's gone through. It's taught us to find the peace that God brings in the middle of the pressure. It's taught us to learn how to depend on others and have healthy community as we face pressure. It's taught us to rely on Jesus as we face pressure. It's taught us to have a prayer life as we face the pressure. In short, the pressure is good. The test is good because it builds our faith and brings us further into the peace of God's kingdom. It brings us further into the love that God's kingdom can only bring. No other kingdom can bring those things. I'm reminded of one of my favorite verses that a friend always reminds me of. It's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. You can write that one down, but look it up later. God has a way through the test for you. Whatever you're facing, God has a way through that test for you. Jesus has a purpose for the test. The next T word that I want to bring to your attention today is the word time. We see that this test for the first century disciples, that it would be 10 days. Jesus is in control. He sets a limit for this test. This 10 days, in the Hebrew, 10 is the word for completion, so it could mean like a complete trial, or maybe it means 10 literal days. But regardless, Jesus is in control in the trial. Jesus is in control in the pressure. In these verses, we see that the political systems, they had free will. We see that the religious systems, they had free will. And the evil forces, they have free will. But they exist only by the permission of God. Their power is limited. Evil is on a leash. Good news, church. God is in control. The last word that reminds us of how to persevere when our faith is under pressure is truth, is truth. Let's look at the last part of verse 10. It says, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death." A few quick images here. First, victor's crown. Remember in Smyrna, the city is a beautiful city. It's built on a hill. And at the top of the hill, they had like a large battlement and acropolis. And they thought that was like their crown of Smyrna. Or they hosted these Olympic games, athletic games. And they would give a laurel wreath to the victor, whoever run the race. Jesus is playing off that imagery and saying, that's going to fade. That's not going to last. Jesus says, to the one who runs the race, I will give you a crown of life, a crown of life that does not wither or fade, a crown that is life itself, eternal life. The second truth we have from the scripture is that Jesus says, the one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Those who remain faithful to Jesus do not die again, do not die a second death. The kingdom of heaven awaits a glorious future where Jesus wipes every tear, where Jesus is present with us, where all things are made right, where injustice is turned back and made right. A glorious future awaits as God brings his kingdom. So as you live your Christian life and live out the Jesus way, and you feel that pressure, you feel that clash of values, you feel the clash of kingdoms, remember, Jesus is the target. This is expected as we follow Jesus. Test. Jesus uses these tests to improve and build our faith. Jesus does not want us to be afraid. Jesus wants us to make it through and overcome. Time, it won't last forever. Jesus is in control. Truth, Jesus gives the crown of life to those who run the race. And Jesus gives us faith for the journey to make it through. You know, it's absolutely amazing. Out of the seven churches that we're going to go through in Revelations here at the start, we talked about Ephesus, we're talking about Smyrna today, and we're going to talk about several others. There's only one church that still exists out of these seven. One church out of the seven. And that's the church in Smyrna. There is an active, vibrant faith in Smyrna. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This church was facing the utmost persecution in every way of life, and yet they heeded Jesus' words. They were faithful. When Jesus speaks, it gives us faith to persevere. It gives us faith for the journey. And although they faced suffering, imprisonment, persecution, and death, they were faithful. They were faithful. Their faith was forged in the pressure that comes as the kingdom of darkness, or as the kingdom of light clashes with the kingdom of darkness, as God's goodwill and reign comes to bear in my life and yours and in our church and in our city. So as we close this morning, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. And just to kind of recap some of these big ideas as we close this morning, Jesus knows what you are going through. This is good news. This is good news. Whatever challenge you are facing, Jesus knows what you are going through. The very nature, how Jesus came, it overturns the existing systems, and God is bringing his good kingdom of life and healing and wholeness. And the very nature of this brings pressure to us as Christ followers. But Jesus says he knows the pressure that we are going through. And Jesus wants us to face this pressure with courage, with courage. Jesus doesn't want his disciples to be afraid or fearful. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, will sustain us and bring us through the journey. We must remember, reality is not all it seems. There are invisible forces at work. But Jesus, the eternal God, who lived as one of us, invites us in to follow him into that pressure. And as we do, Jesus' life is formed in us and in our city and beyond.